Like many of you, I am short-sighted, and I need some help seeing clearly. Remember, I was about 7 years old when I got my first pair of glasses, and every day since then, almost every waking moment, I have viewed the world through corrective lenses. So thanks be to God and to science for making that possible. It's true, right, that human eyes get blurry. It's true also that the eyes of our hearts and our souls get blurry too. It's true that we need to have corrective lenses. The good news for us is that God is the great optician who's always at work grinding lenses that we might see clearly. We are blessed this morning to have one of the best stories, one of the best lenses ground for us by God and recorded for us in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 31. Let us pray. Loving God, through your word, help us see more clearly. Amen. Our story this morning that has been ground by God and recorded for us in Exodus chapter 14, it goes like this. The Israelites were forced to move a long time ago from their homeland by famine and to go to the land of Egypt, where they settled in and they did well and they prospered. Their prosperity, though, and their numbers increasing, they were a threat to Pharaoh, who decided to meet that threat by enslaving the people. And so for a long time, the people groaned under the weight of their oppression. Well, God heard their groans and decided to initiate a plan to liberate them through a man named Moses. So one day, Moses was encountered by God at a burning bush. And God called to Moses and invited him to go to Egypt and to ask Pharaoh to let God's people go. Well, as you and I would likely do, Moses balked at that idea. It was unsafe. It was unwise. Pharaoh had power and was in no mood to just let his workforce walk out of the land. But God negotiated with him and promised him support and guidance. And finally, Moses said yes to God's call. So Moses went to Pharaoh. But you know, Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the people go. So God decided to send some plagues to Egypt. You know, rivers of blood, boils, locusts, frogs, things like that. The death of the firstborn of Egypt. And God sent plagues in order to soften Pharaoh's heart and to loosen his grasp. Well, of course, it worked. And after a series of these plagues, Pharaoh did let the people go. Or so it seemed. For as the Israelites made their way out of Egypt to new lands, Pharaoh had a change of heart. His heart hardened again, and he decided to gather his army and to go chase them down and to bring the Israelites back. It sounded like a good idea at the time, but it was not a good idea, and it would not end well. For soon, God was parting the Red Sea waters. Soon the Israelites were crossing over to safety on the other side. Soon Pharaoh's army's chariots were mired in the mud, and soon the waters closed in again upon them, swept them away, and destroyed them. And so, with the Israelites safely on dry land, with Pharaoh and Pharaoh's army no longer a threat, with the people liberated from bondage, there was only one thing left to do, and that was to sing and dance and praise. And so Miriam gathered the women and the tambourines, and they danced and sang, and Moses did too. And they sang a great song of praise. Sing to the Lord, for God has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider, God has thrown into the sea. It's a great story. It's an important story. It's an essential story. It's a well-known story. It is a story that is at the heart of our faith. But what do I mean exactly when I say that this is a lens that God has ground for us to help us see more clearly? Well, as I said a few minutes ago, it's true that we humans, our vision gets blurry. Time, experience, hardship, and about a million other things cause the eyes of our hearts, our heads, and our souls to become blurry, as if Vaseline has been wiped on our lenses. There's need for us to put on corrective lenses to help see ourselves, our God, our neighbors, and our world more clearly. And God, as the great optician, gifts us with an abundance of lens to do just that. Jesus is a lens, right? Worship is a lens. Prayer is a lens. Church is the lens. Mission and service are lenses. And so too is Exodus chapter 14, a great lens that we might see more clearly. Okay, so let's assume that's true. Let's assume that what I'm saying is right, and that God has given us the great lens of Exodus 14 to help us see more clearly. So the question becomes, what is it that Exodus 14 is trying to help us to see with clarity? How is it taking away our blurred vision? I think it does this in a lot of ways, but I want to raise up just a few for us this morning for reflection. First, Exodus 14 helps us to see the essential truth that God is a God of liberation, who seeks always to free us from anyone and anything that binds us. God is not Pharaoh. God is not a strong man who, or strong woman who asks us to spend our life for the sake of him or her. God is not a chaotic creator who toys with us and then throws us away when God is done. But rather, God is one who's always seeking to free us. And God grinds this lens in Exodus 14 to help us see the essential truth clearly that God is a God of liberation, right? If you hear me say anything else, and I say lots of things all the time to you, but if you don't hear me say anything else, hear me say this, that who God is really and truly is the one who seeks to liberate us, to seeks to liberate you, bring you to freedom, to part the waters and bring you safely to the other side, to rescue you from all that binds you. Well, second, something else that Exodus 14 helps us to see clearly is not only that God is a God of liberation, but also that God is alive and active in the world. God doesn't just wish liberation. God doesn't just tell nice stories and think nice thinky thoughts. No. But notice in our story how God chooses time and again to intervene, to hear the groans, to enter into history, to get messy, to do the hard and dangerous work of calling people, being intimately involved, and doing the things that the people need to actually be free. God is alive and active in the world. But you see, our vision gets blurry. Over time, for a lot of reasons, we lose sight of that. We think God is absent or distant or silent or uncaring. And as our vision of God blurs, we're unable to see God at all. So this story comes along to us and corrects our vision, that we might see that God is alive and active all the time, in every way, in every moment, in your life, and in everyone's life. Well, third, and this is the hardest this morning, but I think that Exodus 14 helps us to see clearly that sometimes our prescription changes, and the lenses that help us see clearly, they need to be reground for changing circumstances, changing situations. Notice, as many have, that in our story of liberation this morning, that God uses violence against the Egyptians as a tool to liberate the Israelites. And many people have seen that and seen other stories like this in the Bible and said, you know, God uses violence, so can I. I'm the faithful one. I'm the good one. They're the godless ones. They're the faithless ones. We can use violence against them because God did so first. And here we are thousands of years later. So much violence performed in God's name. And many in our Judeo-Christian tradition have pushed back against that. Pushed back against this story, which some have used as the lens to see clearly that it's okay to use violence in God's name. And pushed back against that and said, you know, we're not seeing this clearly at all. That we need to regrind this passage, to reinterpret it, to reimagine it, away from anything that legitimizes us to use violence in God's name against our neighbors. I know that that puts us in deep waters, leads us to thorny conversations, right? Thorny conversations about just war theory and self-defense and the death penalty and lots of other uses of violence that we in times and places have said is okay. That leads us to tension and conflict here between what I and many see as God of love and peace and nonviolence, who teaches a nonviolent way, and for those of us who carry out violence in God's name. So we're in deep and thorny waters, and that's okay. Because deep waters and thorny conversations, that's all a part of regrinding our lenses. Well, lastly this morning, Exodus 14 helps us to see clearly that God is so worthy of our praise. Notice in our story how after the Israelites are safe on dry land and Pharaoh's army is no more, that not weeks or months or years later, but right away, the first response to God's liberating work is for the people to sing and to dance and to offer praise to God for what God had done for them. It's hard for us to do. It's hard for me to do. And so many of those I know. You know, we forget to praise God, or we count our liberation up to other forces or other things, or we're not in the habit or practice of praising God, or we just don't think God hears us or cares or will even notice. And so we are quick to be liberated, but slow, perhaps, to praise. So this story comes along and says, you know, this is who God is, the living one, the active one, the liberating one. This is the one who is always so worthy of our praise. So, Exodus 14, ground by the great optician God to help us see clearly. What does it help us to see? That God is a God of liberation, that God is active and live in the world. That sometimes our lenses need to be reground, and that God is always worthy of our praise. Like many of you, I'm short-sighted, and I need help with my corrective vision. And it's true that so often the eyes of our heads, our hearts, and our souls get blurred. So thanks be to God for Exodus 14, for the lens that provides for us, that helps us to see who God is and what God calls us to do and be. Help us all to see that so much more clearly. So that's it. That's our invitation. That's our homework for this week. To take out your Bibles, to type Exodus 14 into your favorite search engine, to open or to scroll the screen, to read the story that you might see. But don't worry. Don't take time to find your glasses. Because you know it's true that Exodus 14 comes with its very own lenses. Grace and peace to you. Amen.